Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to Mark. Listen for the word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For 3 weeks now, we've been in a series called False Advertising. And each Sunday, we examine some of the false messages that surround us. False messages about our identity, false messages about our community, false messages about our purpose as people in the world. False messages that we internalize without really even thinking about it. So this series is designed to give us some time to think about it. To think about these false messages and what God tells us is the truth about our identity, the truth about our community, the truth about our purpose. We started with identity and the false advertising that we receive from television and print advertising and so many other places is that we are consumers. We are consumers who, if we work hard enough, we'll be able to buy those things that make us happy. We are consumers who, if we work hard enough, we will be able to buy love from somebody. But the truth from God is that we are not consumers. We are children, God's children who are already loved. That's the deepest, truest, most important thing about us. We are children of God, loved by God, before we do anything else. Last week, the very Reverend Elizabeth Duffin was here preaching and invited you to think about true community. And we don't find our true community in pristine, master-planned neighborhoods. We don't find our true community in open-concept office environments or anywhere like that. We find our true community in the church, the body of Christ. And it's sometimes messy and difficult and imperfect, but the body of Christ is our true community. The place where we really belong. And today we'll talk about purpose. What's the false advertising about purpose, do you think? What does the world tell us about our purpose? Take a look at the image that's up on the screen. It'll probably look familiar. These are all your options for yogurt at the grocery store. And then let's look at the next image. These are all your options for breakfast bars at the grocery store. And the next one, these are all your options for Kellogg's brand cereals. So what's the message? What's the message with all of these? The message is that there are a lot of choices in the world, and you are the chooser. You are the decider. You are the one who gets to choose. You are the one who gets to decide. Now, let's look at a couple of advertisements from Lifetime Fitness. What does it say? I can do it all in my lifetime. What's the next one? Same thing, different person. I can do it all in my lifetime. One more. Don't even need a person this time. I can do it all in my lifetime. Obviously, Lifetime Fitness is trying to tell you that they have a lot to offer, a lot of options that you can choose from, but you don't have to choose just one. No, you can do it all. The message of all of these is that your purpose is to choose. Your purpose is to set the course. And if you're strong enough, if you're fit enough, if you're competent enough, your purpose is to choose to do it all. That is false advertising. So let's talk about the truth. Now, we do have a lot of choices to make in life, choices about what we'll believe, how we'll act, where we'll live, who we'll love, what we'll do for a living. Plus, in week one, we talked about how we are children of God. We belong to God. We're called to love, to serve, to heal, to forgive. We are called to imitate Christ, to make choices that resemble his choices. And all these choices are important, and we'd be foolish to take them lightly. But when we agonize too much about our own choices, the choices we make, the choices we have, when we agonize too much over those, we fall into an ancient trap called works righteousness. It's the idea that we can, by our good decisions, by our good deeds, save ourselves. If I just work hard enough, if I pray enough, if I help enough, if I give enough, then God at the end will claim me. Christ will recognize me as a true disciple because of the good choices I've made, because of the good things I have accomplished. And this might be a particularly American affliction because we have so many choices at the grocery store, at the gym, at the car dealer. Everywhere we go, we have tons of choices. And from a very early age, people begin telling us that God helps those who help themselves. By the way, that's not true either. And what we lose along the way, as we focus so much on our choices, is a full sense of the power of God. The power of God to recruit people who have made terrible choices. The power of God to invade the unwisest of lives and fill it with light. The power of God to, as Barbara Brown Taylor puts it, come to people who are thinking about lunch, not about God, and smack them upside the head with glory. Think about this morning's story. Most people hear it and right away start worrying about whether they have what it takes to be a disciple. Could you do it, we ask? Could I do it? If a clear call were to come to you tomorrow afternoon, could you get up from your chair, walk out the door, without taking your keys, without turning off the lights, could you abandon your grocery cart in front of the yogurt aisle at the HEB and head off to parts unknown without stopping to call home? Could you do it? That's more or less what those first four disciples did. Jesus, someone they had never seen before in their lives, said, "Follow me." And they did. They left their families, their jobs, their homes. They left it all behind in order to go with him. Simon and Andrew, James and John, two sets of brothers, leave all that they have, all the familiars of their lives, to go after a stranger who called them to follow. A lot of questions come to my mind. Well, what about their families? What are they going to eat? How could they just leave? Where are they going to stay? What if it doesn't work out? It's a very odd thing that these men do for all those reasons, and it's an odd thing because this just wasn't how it worked in those days. Rabbis didn't go looking for students. Students went looking for rabbis. Teachers waited for people to come to them. And teachers interviewed them carefully before deciding whether to take them on as students. Only the best, only the most promising were chosen. People with an aptitude for learning, people who themselves could be leaders. No self-respecting rabbi would go out and recruit his own followers. And even if he did, he certainly wouldn't ask the first four people he saw. But Jesus did. And by doing that, Jesus sets himself apart. He sets himself apart from all of the other teachers of the day because he alone walked out among the ordinary working people of the world and chose them. Chose them without a single question to be his friends. And the strangest thing about it is that they went with him. All of them, not one, not two, not three, but all four of them followed. Jesus called and they followed. And when we read the story, we're tempted to give them all the credit. What heroes they are. What strength, what courage, what faith these four must have had to do what they did, to sacrifice everything, to leave it all behind to follow Jesus. But what if this isn't a story about the heroic choice of these four men? Mark doesn't tell the story as if it's a big decision they're making. Some monumental choice. We don't see them agonizing over whether or not to go. We don't see them weighing the costs and the benefits. Jesus calls, they drop what's in their hands, and they go after him. In the story, the disciples don't say a single word. It's like something just happens to them. A miracle, maybe. Listen to the language of miracles in Mark's gospel. In Mark 1:41, Jesus says to the leper, "Be made clean." And immediately he was made clean. In Mark 2:11, Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately the man stood up, took his mat, and went home. In Mark 10:52, Jesus says to the blind man, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight. Here in our story, Jesus says to four fishermen, "Follow me." And immediately they drop their nets and they follow him. Did you hear it? Maybe this isn't a story about the power of human beings to make the right choice, the power of human beings to change our lives, to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. Maybe this is a story about the power of God to walk right up to four fishermen and work a miracle, creating faith where there was no faith, creating disciples where just a minute before there were no disciples. This isn't a story about us. This is a story about God. It's a story about God's ability not only to call us, but to create us as people who are able to follow. It's a story about God's ability to transform somebody who makes bad choices, somebody who's weak and sinful, somebody who doesn't have it all together, somebody who doesn't always have the right answer, somebody who holds grudges and fails to forgive, somebody who judges unfairly and thinks selfishly. This is a story about the power of God to take and transform that person, me and you, to take and transform that person into somebody who is able to follow Jesus. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off the one who calls us. Able to follow because he interests us more than anything else in our lives. Able to follow because he seems to know what we're hungry for. And he himself seems to be the food we need. You know, the world will tell you that you are the decider. That you get to choose from all the thousands of options out there. You get to set the course. And if you're strong enough, if you're fit enough, if you're competent enough, you can choose to do it all in your lifetime. The truth is that God has chosen you. God has chosen you to do just one thing. To follow Jesus, to be his disciple, to let your life get caught up in his life. Our deep down God-given purpose is to follow Jesus, to hear him call, and to let that miracle that happened to Andrew and Simon and James and John happen to us. This isn't a story about four fishermen choosing to be disciples. It's a story of Jesus choosing four fishermen to be his friends, and of them letting him transform their lives. For Andrew and Simon and James and John, following meant leaving everything behind. I'm not sure that following Jesus is always a matter of leaving everything behind. Because if this is a story about being chosen by Jesus and about letting him transform our lives, then it seems to me that it will be a different story for every one of us in our own particular life. Sometimes following Jesus will mean staying at home. Sometimes following Jesus will mean casting the same old nets in a brand new way or for brand new reasons. Following Jesus may mean doing something different with the fish you catch. It may mean spending the money they bring in at market in a different way. It may mean reorganizing your whole fishing business so that those drifters down at the dock have a job to do and everyone gets a fair wage. Following Jesus may mean doing less every day, not more, so that you have time to enjoy the beauty of the water God made. The possibilities for following seem endless to me. Sometimes they'll be big and costly. Sometimes they'll be too small to mention, but this morning, let's not focus too hard on our choices in the miracle of discipleship. Instead, let's trust that the kingdom of God has come near. Let's trust that the God who called us can be counted on to create us as people who are able to follow him. Let's pray. God of love and grace, God who calls us in our baptism. We trust that you are able to create us as people who can follow. We trust that even as we make bad choices, even as we forget and fail, Lord, we trust that you are alongside us, transforming everything we do to help us be people who follow you. Amen.